Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors writer for the Mercury News. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar, a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Use the promo code Locked On for $10 off of your first box at BuiltBar.com. This is part two of our six-part series discussing racial justice and reform in America with former Warriors players over the last six decades. I'm joined today by Joe Ellis, who grew up in the Bay Area and played for the Warriors from 1966 to 1974. Joe, thanks for being on. And to get started, I want to know how you've dealt with not having sports in your life for the last few months.
You know, it hasn't been really a problem, you know, because it's baseball season. They would be baseball season on. I'm not really a baseball fan, so I would generally be in the gym with kids during these times anyway. So that's been pretty difficult.
And then, you know, with all of that, how did you react to that initial video of George Floyd's death and then the protests that we're seeing now?
My emotions are pretty raw right now. You know, I go from anger to sadness to hopeful to it's just a variety of emotions that I'm having right now because this stuff has been going on for a long time, and it just seems that you know, the nation have been ignoring what people of color have been saying for a long time that's been happening. And when you see it live on TV, and you know, I think people is just starting to realize that people of color weren't just making things up. So it's but it's encouraging to see all of the young people in the streets, even at these perilous times with this virus going on. But you know, I think that's the only way things are going to change, is that the young people get engaged, because they're coming from a different place than my generation was coming from. So it's encouraging.
I mean, you were living in the Bay Area during the Black Panther movement. What do you remember about that time?
I grew up right around where the Black Panther Party started, right there at 14th and around 16th and Peralta. So, you know, I knew those guys when they first got started. Huey Newton was at Oakland Junior. Oakland Community College up on Grove Street in Oakland. So you know, I wasn't close to those guys, but I knew who they were, and I knew that, you know, they were considered a bit radical, but you know, they were doing some good things in the community as well.
I mean, they were considered radical. A lot of people right now, especially in politics, are even calling what's happening now with the young protesters radical. When you see that word thrown around, what is your reaction to that?
It's ridiculous. You know, it's, I mean, the people that like things to stay the way that they are and are reluctant to change are always going to call people that are in the street radical when they're trying to demonstrate and call attention to what's going on, in their world and in society. So, that label is ridiculous, and it's gonna, you know, it's gonna continue, particularly with the people that don't want to see change. They want to say, "Don't move so fast." But people have been waiting for a long time to get their rights of citizenship in this country. So, you know, I just kind of ignore that label.
How does this movement compare to the movement in the 60s and the 70s? I mean, what's different? Can you even compare them?
I think now people are, you know, I mean, young people are growing up in a completely different environment. I mean, you know, we were still dealing with pretty heavily with Jim Crow during the 60s. Mm-hmm. And people were literally having water hoses put on them and dogs attacking them, and they still weren't getting their rights. And, you know, I think these people, young people now, are growing up with a lot of their friends are people of color. And so they don't see things the same way that that their parents did or people in power did. So it's radically different. You know, you see more white folks out in the community demonstrating, and we had a lot back in the 60s, but it was different then, and you can feel the difference. You know, it's hopeful now, and you don't see quite as much violence in the demonstrations in terms of the authorities as you did back in the day. I mean, when there were horses and clubs beating and dogs being put on people, you're not seeing that now.
How do you think former NBA players, current NBA players, and the league in general can help support and push this movement forward?
Well, you know, people have to stay consistent. I mean, you know, the amazing thing about this particular time is that this movement seems to have some sustainability. It's been going on now for some 23 days, and I think that in order for things to change, they just have to keep pushing, because politicians never lead. You know, they're always followers. So they abdicate their responsibility. So yeah, I just think that things will change, but we just can't forget about it. And athletes have a much more powerful platform now than the guys did in the old days, because, you know, we're still kind of dealing with quotas on teams in terms of African-American athletes. And today, these guys who've got Twitter and Facebook and, you know, all of these social media platforms that they can express their concerns on.
I mean, when you see, you know, players going to these protests, when you see somebody like a star like Steph Curry participate in protests, how do you feel about that?
Well, I think that's good. You know, I mean, Steph has been, there are a lot of players in the NBA have been very vocal when it comes to social issues. And these guys carry, they carry a lot of weight. They have a lot of people that are following them on their social media platforms. And so they can speak to the issue that sometimes common folks or normal people can't, because they don't get the audience that a Steph Curry would get. So I think that's it's admirable for him and others to step out and speak truth to power.
We'll be right back with Joe Ellis, but in these uncertain times when we can't get to the store or go out to our favorite restaurant, we often end up searching the deepest depths of our kitchen for a snack. Stop eating those who-knows-how-old crackers and put down those chips. Instead, reach for something healthy and delicious, called Built Bars. This is the best-tasting protein bar that I've ever had, and trust me, I've tried a lot of them. It's a protein bar covered in 100% real chocolate. Built Bar tastes like a candy bar while delivering fewer sugars and carbs, making it better tasting and better for you than any of the competitors. With 16 amazing flavors like peanut butter chocolate, mint brownie, and orange chocolate cream, Built Bar is like a cheat code for health-conscious men and women. These bars are low calorie and they're low sugar, while also being high in protein and fiber, making them perfect for ketogenic and other low-carb diets. And this week, get up to 50% off everything you purchase at BuiltBar.com, and all profits will be donated to an organization that supports education, equality, and ending hate and racism. Support the cause and support your body at BuiltBar.com. Joe, you sound hopeful. Are you hopeful?
Well, I've been, you know, I'm 76 years old, you know, and I'm hopeful that I will see a time when young black and brown men are not hunted. It's almost like it's hunting season. You know, you thought with Eric Garner that things would have changed, and then you get get all these young people that are being cut down in the prime of their life. So I think I have to, you know, to keep my sanity, I think I have to stay hopeful.
And like you said, I mean, this has been just an issue for decades now. I'm curious what the conversations are like with you and your family, you and your friends right now.
Well, you know, it's, you know, we talk a lot about the same, you know, about the issues, you know, comparing it to the past. It's a shame, you know. I have two sons, you know, who obviously are adults now, but you know, it was you had to have those conversations with African American young men, because most of my two boys grew up, and their friends, a lot of their friends were white kids, and they were running around out in public with white kids, and I had to tell them that, you know, you got to be careful what you do, and if you're stopped by the police, you have to be respectful, because when you're stopped, if you have five or six, you're the only African American kid, they're going to migrate to you first. I mean, it's just a fact of life. And you know, we have to be cognizant of that as people of color, and just kind of don't make any sudden moves, and be very respectful when you're talking to them, because things can go south pretty quickly.
Have you or your kids ever had a run-in with police like that?
Well, you know, I haven't. Okay. I have not. My sons have not had any problems with police, you know, because they, you know, we taught them to be respectful, you know. But like I say, you can say one word and things can go south. But, you know, I have friends that have experienced that. You know, I personally have not had any confrontations with police, but to this day, when I see one, I'm kind of, you know, you get a little tense, because you just don't know.
I'm curious, what do you feel needs to happen next? Because, you know, you've seen these different sorts of movements, and you mentioned, you know, past protests and things like that. I mean, we're 6 years since Ferguson, and it just seems like this is an ongoing issue. I mean, is there something that you feel isn't being done that needs to be done? That's what's next for the young people? What do you think they need to do?
You know, I think they just have to keep shining a light on the situation. You know, I mean, you're gonna have to force politicians to change laws, but you know, somehow you have to change the hearts and minds of people, because you can't legislate behavior. You know, there's a lot of hard work out in front of you. People just have to keep calling attention to the inequities that's going on in our society. You know, politicians are going to have to start taking some of the money out of police and put it into other areas, you know, the mental health, drug addiction, medical, to help to uplift some of these communities that have been deprived for so long. And, you know, and people are angry, you know. It's not so much that they're angry. Well, they're angry because they are, you know, people are tired of being overlooked and, being considered second-class citizens or non-citizens, and being treated as subhuman individuals. So it's gonna take a lot of work. But like I say, I'm hopeful, and I'm hopeful that this is gonna, these protests in the streets are gonna continue, but that these young people make sure that they're taking precautions to keep themselves safe and their families safe.
What are your thoughts on sports coming back? Because there's been a debate among some NBA players that a return could distract from the movement. Others feel like they can help and support the movement. Do you think that the NBA can balance pushing social reform and resuming its season at the same time?
Well, I think it's kind of risky, but that's their job, and the NBA obviously wants to get back out there. I mean, those sports organizations, all about the dollars, you know. They want to get back and continue bringing in revenue. My question about the professional sports organizations and companies, corporations as a whole, is, you know, you know, they've known about these situations forever, you know, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden it's kind of chic to be on the platform and say Black Lives Matter and all of those kinds of platitudes. But where were they when even 4 years ago when Colin Kaepernick took a knee to protest what's going on, and they threw him to the wolves? Nobody stood up for him. And I can say one thing about, you know, I haven't watched other sports organizations, but I can say that the Warriors are probably light years ahead of the sports team. I think they are the poster child for trying to do things the right way in terms of social justice and allowing their players to speak their mind and express their interests without any repercussions. But you know, the NFL, I just, you know, I look at the NFL and I just say that, you know, I don't believe a word that Goodell is saying.
We'll be right back with Joe Ellis, but with an ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it could be impossible to stock all the parts that you need, especially now while you may not be able to or willing to visit a traditional store. So do it easily online at rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything that you need: control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all of the parts that are available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low without the markup that you find at chain stores. So go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Support the people who support us. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. I said earlier that you seem hopeful, but, you know, as I'm talking to you, you seem both, you know, cynical and, right, like, just realistic about it and hopeful at the same time. I guess that's just comes with the territory, having seen so much of this for so many years.
Yeah, you know, I mean, those are definitely contradictory things. But, yeah, like I say, I just think that you have to remain hopeful, or you can, you know, you can put yourself in a spiral of depression without some hope. So I try to just take it one day at a time and just see what's happening. But I am encouraged.
And how are you spending those days? Are you just reading, watching? What's your day to day like right now as far as this goes?
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, we've been kind of locked up for a while. You know, I try to stay in contact with my family. We do a lot of FaceTime. You know, I haven't seen my grandchildren in 3 months. You know? But you know, we do some FaceTime. You know, I'm an avid gardener, so I spend a lot of time out in my yard, walking and, you know, doing a little exercise. But you know, I try to keep busy.
Well, I will let you go with that. I really appreciate you taking some time here to answer these questions, sir.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me.
Thanks again to Joe Ellis for joining me today. If you didn't catch part one of the series with David West, that posted earlier this week. It's worth your time. Part three with Jamal Wilkes will go up next week. So remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, where you can rate us, review us, and say nice things about us. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first box of Built Bars at BuiltBar.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe.